Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
But since here we sit now as we close in on the AFC and NFC championship games, and there's plenty of things gaining our attention as the week rolls on, and Bill Belichick and the Patriots are clearly one of them. Number one, we had the fact they're still doubling and tripling down on, you want to bet against us? Bet against us. Julian Edelman put that out on social media today. It's just embarrassing.
It's embarrassing
the Patriots to sit here and say, yeah, you doubt us. Look, Tom Brady sounded the charge after the win last week against the Chargers when he said, oh, everybody thinks we suck. And you know what? Nobody thinks you suck. It's just, hey, people are talking more about the Chiefs and the Rams and the Saints because they're really, really good. And for a team like the Patriots, who go to the Super Bowl every other year and win it every other year, it's embarrassing to hear them play the, yeah, now we're the underdogs, and they're all embracing it. Ed Edelman's dare to bet against us social media post from today. I'm like, really? I get that you're trying to do what you want to do to motivate people in the locker room, but for everybody else, it's just embarrassing. Well, just stop. You're the Patriot. You're a dynasty. Just stop.
Yeah, but here's the other part of it, Jason, is if we spend time and people spend countless time on TV and getting their makeup ready to do 3 minutes of hot takery about this or 15 minutes or an hour or whatever it's going to be, let's take callers, let's do it, all that. You're not talking about the Patriots and what they're doing. So it's all nice white noise to them. It's like, oh, we got everybody upset that we're calling ourselves underdogs. Meanwhile, we just go back to work. They're not watching tape. They're not going back and seeing what we're doing. And if that becomes what everybody is, it's the red herring. It's like, go run with that for the week leading up instead of actually breaking down the team. It's a good move. I like it. And if you can find what's nesting in Julian Edelman's beard, you also win a prize.
You know, I've been looking for a way to figure this out. And this is how it is. We'll get to Bill Belichick and the weather in a couple seconds. This is what it is with the Patriots. The Patriots trying to convince us that, hey, we're the underdogs. And yeah, look at us. We're banding together. You guys are all against us. It's ridiculous.
They're singing Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits.
Well, I like that song.
It's a good song.
I do like that song.
The Metallica acoustic version is pretty good, too.
Really?
I've not heard that.
It's better than the Dire Straits version. It's pretty good.
I'll send you a copy.
I mean, they use that in the season 2 finale of West Wing. That is just fantastic.
Oh, yeah. No.
Really?
Metallica acoustic on that.
All right.
That's as good as it gets.
But the Patriots trying to convince, yes, we're the underdogs. It's like when I watch a Jennifer Lopez movie, and the movie tries to convince me that she's just an average-looking person who has an average-looking job someplace, and, oh, you know, someone needs to find out that she's special. Jennifer Lopez is one of those beautiful human beings in the history of the planet. It's like, oh, but here, she's an average maid, or here, oh, she's here, she's doing it. It's like, no, you can't just hide Jennifer Lopez and say, oh, yeah, no, she, but maybe someone will discover her, and she will have a wonderful life. No.
By referencing Jennifer
Lopez, gorgeous.
Does that mean that song that we had for a while comes back into play?
I Love Don't Cost
big,
a Thing?
Big booty guy.
Oh, no, but we can watch the video while we're not talking.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that. That's fine. Well, we're not Slide Over Baby Hour yet.
I watched the video.
Not in the last 8 seconds, I just watched this video.
He types quickly. Well, you see his fingers on the board, man. I have no doubt that he could have called that video up that fast with Lopez and Iggy Azalea. No question about it.
She's just a wizard. She needs somebody. Like, what's the movie she's in now where she's like the 10th?
Oh, Second Chance or whatever
it is. Second
Chance, yeah. But go through all the movies of our youth, right? Our teenage and early 20s. It was, all right, there's the girl. Put some glasses on her.
Yeah.
And, you know, no makeup.
You could
and a big
beautiful
sweater. And it's like, oh, wait, they took the glasses off and they put some eye makeup on. Look at that.
Now she could be in a Van Halen video. This is awesome. Yeah, that's what it's just embarrassing for the Patriots.
Well, that's why I look normal in my everyday. And then when I dress up, look out.
Harmon gets out of the shower, starts his iPod, and starts playing Sharp Dressed Man, and then is getting in front of the mirror.
That's it.
And the first thing you do is put your hat on, so you're naked, just wearing that jaunty hat, and you're dancing around. Yeah, it's kind of like a Silence of the Lambs thing, except, you know, you have that hat on. And you're just doing a little, hey, I'd talk sports with me. I'd talk sports with me good.
I think we could probably get a lot of views of a promo on that. I'd talk sports.
I'd talk sports good. But today was really about the weather as well, because as we get closer to Sunday, the, what are they calling it? The polar vortex.
That's a good
name.
That
is coming in through Kansas City. And here in Los Angeles, we're dealing with all kinds of, it's rained every day the last 5 days. It's been insane. We've gone from, oh, we need the rain, to now it's like, okay, we're done with the rain. Are we out of the drought? We're done with the rain. And what we're going to get in Kansas City on Sunday are potentially temperatures that hit minus double digits.
How about
that? Supposed to be -7 when they start this game. There's the chance of snow, the ice, the wind. It's going to be incredibly cold. One of the coldest games ever in the history of the NFL. And as we get closer to that, people realize, oh, this is not something that we're not going to get a warm front break in on Saturday morning.
No.
This is what's going to happen. But if you ask the Patriots, who practice in cold weather, they practice outside when it snows. I think Belichick makes the players sleep outside during the fall when the weather turns.
It's not a bad move.
Them used to games.
Hey, you got to get game condition ready.
This is what he had to say today, talking about getting ready for the weather and the Chiefs this weekend.
Do you mind playing in severe cold?
Love to plan a championship game. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there.
You can't even say yes.
Yeah,
or no.
Listen to that.
All right, you know, hey, we're gonna
schedule where you want.
Hey, we're
should've just pounded the table.
No, we're gonna go to MetLife Stadium and schedule it, and all Jets fans are gonna come. How'd you feel about that? Would you play it there? Would you play it there?
Sure.
Would you play it there?
It's crazy eyes. Adam Gase there.
That's gonna be
hopped up on whatever. Allegedly, he may have been hopped up on for that presser.
It's going to be tough to look across the field and see him coaching in next season.
Well, you can't hide what he's looking at.
Is everything okay with him? Is everything all right?
No, that's great. You know exactly where his eyes are at the whole. But he's focusing on the middle linebacker.
Listen, play that again. Hear Belichick now, because now Belichick is doing a little bit of the whole, yeah, it's us against the world kind of thing.
Do you mind playing in severe cold?
Love to plan a championship game. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there.
All right. I'm ready. Schedule whatever you want. We'll be there. The most important thing to take away from this, and I want everybody to listen to this, because this is not just me, Jet fan, talking. This is me, sports talk radio host and professional, telling you this, and I want you to realize that this is the truth. Tom Brady's never been hotter.
No, duck. Yeah.
Where was the Silence of the Lambs song when I said it? Where was that?
I'm still watching Jennifer Lopez. Come on.
I want you to understand this, because this is the most important thing I will tell you all night. Here's why Brady's the greatest of all time.
That's not it. Not even close.
This is what I want you to know, because this is extremely important. Extreme cold is way worse than extreme heat. It's the extreme cold is the absolute worst.
See, I think it's opposite.
Cold is way worse than hot. Think about what do you have any really great memories of being outside in the absolute freezing cold, bone chilling, your feet are wet, and it's just absolutely miserable? No, but you have plenty of good memories being outside in the heat in the summertime, you know,
I have to be
in the daytime. I just mean anytime you have great memories of being, if it's, oh, it's hot, right? Because we can turn the air conditioner on. But if it's cold and you're outside, you're screwed. I know so many people say, oh, you know, I like the cold better than the heat. Why? Well, look, I could always put clothes on. No, not when it gets too cold. You can only put so many clothes on before you're like, oh my God, I still feel it all the way to the bottom of my vortex in my foot. It's way worse.
See, that was good years ago.
Cold was worse than heat.
Living out here in California has made me soft. Now everything aches. A couple of days of rain, I feel like an 80-year-old man walking around. My knees hurt.
It
so
is
bad.
Tough,
like,
yeah.
It's no good there. But, you know, great memories of the cold, of sitting outside and freezing my butt off.
That's
watching
a great memory.
Western lose 63-14.
But great memories
but,
right there.
But drinking in the parking lot and
yeah, but that's
eating
different.
Food.
Well, you're warming yourself up by
well,
that.
I did.
Yeah.
And then you do some sprints, you play a little football.
What would you, if you had to be outside, just think of it, if you had to be outside for 7 hours, right?
Uh-huh.
And you could be dressed appropriate for either way.
Sure.
Would you rather be outside in -10 degree weather, or would you rather be outside in 110 degree heat?
I'd rather be in the cold. Really? Hey, I'm fat.
You're a, no, but not negative 10 degree. See, that's the thing about being in LA. Our blood is thinned. You still think the cold is like, yeah, ooh, I'll put on a light jacket. No.
I am not vacationing in Detroit.
Hey, I told you how cold the public restrooms are in Detroit in the wintertime.
I know, that was kind of a big
deal. You just go into one of those restrooms and you go, oh my God, I got to get out of here. There's no time to get comfortable. There's no time to get on your phone. It's just, I got to go and get out.
Restrooms
are really cold, and I'm talking about being outside.
Funny, I was ready to go and travel should Nagy not have screwed things up and Cody Parkey not done Cody Parkey things. If the Bears were still alive and I had to go to Chicago, I was already planning what the wardrobe was going to be. I was ready.
No.
I was jacked up about it.
No, that's the worst. Being outside in that kind of cold, awful. You can't.
You have a bottle of hot damn and you'll be fine.
Now, after a minute, you're like, okay, I'm done with this.
Well, you also do have to be smart about it, right? One thing that we forgot to arm Frostburg for his treks with the Chargers was make sure you get the hand warmers, but get them down into the boots. Get them down into the shoes. Keep the tootsies nice and warm. You're going to be standing
outside. It's too much planning. You can't enjoy it. When I got to make sure I get the right boots. I got to make sure I have it.
Yeah, but otherwise it's too hot. And then I got to find someone to lather me up with the proper suntan lotion.
You do? You can't do it yourself? You find somebody?
Well, the swole back. There's going to be parts of the back.
Will you put suntan lotion all over me? Thank you.
I think I'd find multiple takers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But first, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers. Earlier today, the latest volley has been fired back and forth between the Steelers and Antonio Brown, despite the fact neither side has spoken to the other. Steelers owner Art Rooney said today he's not closing any doors on his future, but, quote, you have to remember, he's helped us win a lot of games. Was it always done the way you'd like to see it done? No, but I don't think he was a major distraction to the team up until the last weekend of the season. The proof is in the pudding, for the most part. I'd like to have had the opportunity to talk with him and understand where he is. I'm very disappointed in where we are and what happened and don't have a lot of good explanations for it as we sit here today. Rooney says he's got no trade calls on Antonio Brown yet. So let's deal with the Pittsburgh side of this first before we get to Antonio Brown. This is Art Rooney begging people to call him for Antonio Brown. Every other day, he's talking about Antonio Brown, talking to the media. He doesn't have to talk to the media. This is a dead time for the Steelers right now. This is a dead time for any team not in the Final Four in the National Football League. This should not be a story. You're talking about the beginning to middle part of January, where we're still a month and a half away from free agency. This is the dead time. This is what, you know, let's solve things. Let's solve things now. No, but the fact that this is the second time this week he has said, hey, we may have to trade Antonio Brown. Haven't gotten any calls yet. How many more? Do you have to be hit over the head? Call the Pittsburgh Steelers. They will trade you Antonio Brown. There's no other reason for the owner of a team to be talking about a guy where they're having back and forth with unless he is ready to part ways with him. Call them right now. I guarantee you he'll get on the phone and he'll broker a trade. It's like they want to get it done now. They want to get him off the team and not be a Pittsburgh Steeler anymore.
Well, it's like we joked about with the baseball contracts that haven't been signed, right? Still waiting on Machado. How long is it? Buster Olney, Bob Nightingale, both long-tenured, respected reporters have their numbers. Somebody leaked them. Mm-hmm. So you're playing the waiting game. That's some mystery team, some mystery benefactor is going to have a bigger novelty check to come over the top and trump that deal. Same thing, but you're playing the waiting game with just a couple of weeks until spring training. Here with the Steelers, every day that Antonio Brown speaks out, right now he's getting into slap fights on Bruce Arians and going back and forth with Emmanuel Sanders and going deep in his social media game. You're wondering if perceived value becomes a more difficult proposition. Why? Because they know it's an untenable situation. So for Rooney and for the Steelers, you know, they've got the for sale sign out on the lawn. Now you just need to wait and decide what time they finally just say, we're giving the stuff away because we want to get on with our day.
So that's the Antonio Brown part. That's the Steelers part of it. Antonio Brown fired back today on social media. Someone asked him about, hey, could you return Art Rooney's phone call, AB, regards hashtag Steeler Nation. He wrote back, clearly they feel indifferent about me seeing all these reports, the big interview coming. Watching my teammates, fans, and organization show me how they really feel. Stay woke. So we're staying woke about Antonio Brown's situation. in which his teammates' team aren't saying good things about him. Gee, you skipped the last game of the season. It was when you needed to win to make the bleeping playoffs. You decided, I'm mad at Roethlisberger. I'm mad at the team. You turned your back on the team the final week of the season, and you're upset how people are treating you. Are you? This is why Antonio Brown really lives on Mars. That's why his tweets are coming through loud and clear, because he's actually sending them through space to Earth, because he lives on Mars. In his world, he has done nothing wrong. He has no responsibility, no culpability for anything that's gone on. When he was the guy who's, if he was this mad and we just find out after the season's over, that's one thing. But you skipped out on a game. You skipped out on a game the Steelers needed to win to make the playoffs. How do you come back from that?
Well, and you took money out of every player on your roster's pockets down the stretch by becoming a distraction, by becoming a problem, and then obviously week 17, not showing up during the week. You took off, you know, we joked about Sean Payton putting up the $225,000, $250,000, whatever the amount was, in bills saying, hey, go get it. You took some portion of that out of your Steelers teammates' pockets by not being there to try to finish off your season in those final couple of weeks. So it's just ludicrous to me. And look, Tomlin's part of the blame. Roethlisberger's part of the blame. But you know what? They both showed up for work. They both still went about their jobs. They eke out a win over Cincinnati. Baltimore takes care of business, gets into the playoffs. But the damage was done. They'd done everything they could to weather the storm of the earlier Le'Veon Bell problems. They were 7-2-1. And then all of this blows up. Juju Smith-Schuster, now he's tweeting, hey, I'm in Hawaii, look at me. I'm having fun. He's in the surf. He wants Antonio Brown back, clearly, because he recognizes how much better and easier it makes life for him catching balls. But like, he's the only guy speaking up positively. Everybody else is like, I'll see you in hell.
He also went on Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, who said that Antonio Brown was a little bit too diva-esque for his liking the other day. Arians, who was just named head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a guy. He was offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh when Antonio was a rookie. And Antonio Brown, in responding to that on Twitter, said, quote, Arians didn't draft me. He drafted Emmanuel Sanders, the same guy who missed rehab to go on networks to talk about me on situations he have zero clue. Arians now wears Kangoo hats, not Kangol, Kangoo. Now wears Kangoo hats and glasses. But I'm a diva. Done seen it all. Then they say we friends. Stop. And it's supposed to be lying, but he spells it like a lien, L-I-E-N, but it's stop lying. So now,
well, maybe he put a lien on his house. Maybe he loaned him some money. Maybe there's some other bad blood and beef that we don't know about.
Hey, that place you threw all that furniture out? Yeah, you're going to have to pay for that. So now I understand him being mad at Bruce Arians, because Bruce Arians, honestly, has to just shut up about Antonio Brown, right? You don't coach him. He's not your problem. You're now the head coach of a football team. You're not in the media. You got to worry about Jameis Winston, right? Don't worry about Antonio Brown. So I understand him being upset and going back at Bruce Arians. And I love that he calls, I'm wearing a Kangoo hat. But he's got to realize that with every passing day, he doesn't look good in this. Mm-hmm. Antonio Brown does not look good. And this is not going to help anybody except the team that trades for him. Because all they're going to get from him, you think they're going to get a first round, they're going to get a couple of thirds for Antonio Brown. Because no one's going to say, boy, a first or second, this guy's liable to fly off the handle and not show up. Not showing up for a game is a big red flag for teams to say, we're going to invest in Antonio Brown. We need him to play. And is he going to get upset and go home week 7 and we're not going to see him until week 11? Is that going to happen at some point? Two-thirds is what you're going to wind up getting for him. And getting a big contract, they're going to ride out this deal, and that's going to be the last dime you see as far as a big contract goes. He is completely hurting his own value. There's no winners here. There's going to be no way. The team's going to get him. He's going to get him for a bargain, and they're going to sit on pins and needles every day whether or not he's going to show up or something happens is going to piss him off.
Yeah, but Emmanuel Sanders did some good analysis on the networks getting ready for post-football, so he clapped back pretty nicely. I'm getting roped into this as well. And for Arians, the only thing, like, he's still under contract with another team, so you really shouldn't be in anybody's kitchen at this point. You've signed a deal to be a coach for another team. If you were a free agent and you want to go into the diva and say, hey, he's a changed guy from what we saw in 2010, have at it. As much as I like Bruce Arians, right now is take care of your own house.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
The Nets actually reach 500, which may be the biggest miracle this season in the NBA.
It's kind of a big deal.
They go into Houston and win in overtime 145-142. Okay, so that's nice. James Harden goes for 58 points. 58, his 18th game in a row in which he is over 30.
When's his elbow fly into the second level, though? 11,
12. You know what I like about James Harden, and I'm being serious about this now, before you get into more about their threes they took tonight, is that the body control that he has to be able to try to draw fouls that aren't real fouls.
31.
All right, this way, should we just let Mike Francesa finish? Go ahead, finish, Mike.
35, 36, 37, 38.
Big finish, let's go.
41.
And then add another 17, and that'd be 58 for James Harden. Is the body control he has on shots where he's not touched to draw a foul and to get the end one and to be so accurate around the basket, because he does the yell and the scream and the head push and he throws it up with the left hand. And it's amazing just how accurate he is that he gets the foul and still he gets the ball either in for an end one or he gets it close. And you go, my goodness, he must have gotten fouled because it was close. So the way he has that, the way he can control his body, what he has mastered, is amazing. You can be upset about him drawing fouls that don't happen because, yes, that happens. You know, he gets 10 free throws a game he probably shouldn't get. But the mastery, I can never fault someone for a good strategy. And his strategy is absolutely insane. The way he can get those calls and the way he can continue to control his body and even get the shots. Because to risk it, if you're not going to get the call, you're hurting yourself. Because if you may not get the call, but I'm going to go crazy and throw this up and my body's going to be going in 100 different directions, well, then you're hurting the team because you're now sacrificing what could be a hoop for hoping to go to the free throw line. You wind up losing your confidence, and it's not good for the team. But the fact he still makes these shots tells you what kind of talent level where he is playing at right now.
No, he's that guy that everybody hates because he's an instigator, agitator, whatever. When he's playing against your team, You're salty. But when you just sit back and enjoy it as an NBA fan, or we go through every other sport that you sit back and watch, there's that guy that just rubs you the wrong way because he's getting the call against your team. You know, you, Rob Parker, everybody that uses the term cheating to describe the Patriots, no matter what, good strategy of, hey, that guy's running free and clear with no defensive back anywhere near him. That's just bad alignment. There's no cheating. But it sounds better, and it makes you feel better about it. But then you sit back and watch him as a fan, and you just, man, it's just you marvel at the ability to do that night in, night out, to be as consistent as he's been all the rest of the game that came through. You knew he could score. We always knew he could score, but you see how he picks up Chris Paul. We don't know when he's coming back. Gordon's out, all of this. So he's carried it on his shoulders, logging heavy minutes, almost 40 a night over the last month, while putting up 29 shots per game.
If I asked you, what is a bigger accomplishment? What is a bigger accomplishment? Because we talked about James Harden a few minutes ago.
Sure.
I don't doubt that he can score 30 a night every night for the rest of the season.
Not if he keeps the shot number up and that and the free throws. Come on.
This would put his 30-point streak game somewhere around the high 40s, right? I believe is where it would end. It might not get to 50 because Houston's played 44 games. Let's just say you add another.
What, he's at 18 now.
Yeah, you add another 38 games.
Sure.
Right? You add another 38 games, he's at 18, so he'd finish at 46.
56.
Carry the one. 56 straight games of 30 or more points, or Russell Westbrook averaging a triple-double. 56 straight games of 30 or more points.
Now, I'll take the triple-double.
Before you take the triple-double, let me just throw this out there to you.
Yeah.
You can have an off night and still wind up averaging a triple-double for an entire
still
season.
Still go Jason, right? Kidd.
You can have a night where, you know what, I got 25 points, but I only had 3 assists, and I had 10 rebounds. I can make it up. I can make that up. Now, that's one of those. I always say that things you can do over a longer period of time is always more impressive than something you can do in a short period of time. Like Cy Young's record of 511 wins versus Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak. I can see somebody getting hot and hitting in 57 straight games because it's one season, one time. Can I see somebody coming up when they're 20 years old, winning 20 games a year for 20 years, and then, hey, guess what? You're 111 short of getting a Cy Young's record. I mean, I can't see that.
No, you don't start enough games. You don't go deep enough into games. No. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's a cyborg.
Right. So you're talking about the something that's for a longer part of the season, for a longer part, is tougher to do over a short period of time. But realize this is you can't have one off game. You have one off game, but that done. Your streak is done. You're not in 56 in a row, and you have one off game. You're not getting to 30 points.
Well, no, he did the other night against Orlando. He went 11 of 32. He was 1 of 17 from three-point range and still finished with 38 points. You can have an off night. He's 7 of 18, 13 of 35, 13 of 32. He's not exactly shooting the lights out most of these games.
But that's the main reason why James Harden is going to get there because of his average. Look, you go back before this 30-point game streak started, right? You go back before this started, which was Saturday, December 8th, right? He was averaging 23 shots, about 21 to 23 shots a game, and he was averaging about 12 three-pointers, right? He was 23 shots and 12 three-pointers. That's what he was up until this point. You go from that point on, it's 29 shots a game and 17 three-pointers. And, oh, by the way, it's 12 free throws a game, which is about only a couple more than what he averaged, but you go from 21 shots a game and 12 of them are threes to 29 shots a game and 17 of them are threes, you're getting to 30. When do you not get to 30? If he gets hurt and you can't plan for injury, if it's a blowout. But if it's a blowout, they're only going to blow a team out unless he's scoring 30
based
points.
On him, sure.
Right? And even in a blowout where you're losing, they're still taking those amount of shots, he's going to get to 30. And you know Mike D'Antoni is going to leave him in to get to 30.
Buddy,
there's no way he takes him out of the game.
73-point shots today. 70. 70. That used to be a week for most teams. Yeah. The Warriors saw that box score tonight and laughed and said, wow.
All right.
They say we go to the three a lot.
Hey, wait till you see how many threes Golden State takes tonight against New Orleans. Oh, you think 70? We're going to take 75. We're going to take 80. In fact, no shots inside the arc. Not one.
Now, there's your challenge.
Now, that's
the next broken team that they play. There's the challenge.
You know what?
Putbacks, no layups, no dunks.
That'd be a typical Steve Kerr thing to do when he gets really,
Let's
really bored.
Let's have some fun.
Hey, guys, every shot's a three. No matter what, don't go against it. I want to see one shot. If you get fouled, go to the free throw line. You can dribble inside the arc. You can pass inside the arc. No shots.
That'd
from
be awesome.
Inside the arc. Not
How great
one.
Would that be?
Every shot is outside the arc. Every single shot. Why not?
All right. Coming up with 2:12 left in this first quarter. New Orleans up 30-26. Golden State's attempt at 8. Come on. Got to pick up
That's
the
it.
Pace.
Oh, slackers. Yeah. Golden
Come
State.
On.
The era is over. It's over.
They've attempted
over,
more 2-point shots than 3-point shots in this quarter.
No, it's over.
What am I watching?
It's over. This is JV basketball now. Look at this.
I'm incensed.
Come on, I'd rather see a replay of the Rockets game. I want to see 2 out of every 3 shots be a 3-pointer.
Two out of three ain't bad.
I mean, that's just insane. And you know what? It's not going to calm down. Like, what's Mike D'Antoni going to say? Yeah, 70's a lot, so maybe we'll take 60. You know, I mean, we can't just settle for the three. We got to drive to the hoopla. But this is his philosophy. A three is worth more than two. We have guys that can make them. And we're winning games, and we're winning on the strength of what James Harden is doing. And hopefully, when guys come back, we can start playing a little bit better. Although, when Chris Paul was playing, we were terrible. This is the new James Harden. This is the James Harden you're going to get every single night. A guy's going to shoot the ball 30 times. He's going to score 30 points, and it's going to seem effortless. Effortless. I mean, when's the next time? You think about 12 free throws a game. He makes 10 of them. That's 10 points right away. All he's got to do now is score 20 points, right? Let's say he makes 5 threes a game. He's 5 out of 17. That's terrible. All right, that's 15 points. He just needs 2 more layups. He just needs two layups, buddy. Just
that's
two layups to get to 30.
This is the guy you want to punch in the face at the
that's
end of your YMCA game.
Doesn't matter.
Or on the beach, you meet up and you're hanging out. I was like, did we get to touch the ball now?
You can't punch him in the face because that beard, it's going to hurt.
No question.
It would be a glancing blow. It would be very difficult.
I'm not saying you strike a blow that's going to injure him in any way. Just you want your shots too.
30. You know, I got to find, you know what? I'm going to message Todd Furman from Xbox One's Locking It. I'm going to say, what are the odds I can get that James Harden 30 a night, every night, the rest of the season?
I'm going to
tell you. The odds he'll give me, I can't see them being, I can't see them being less than 25-1. Like, I guess not even going to be 50-1. I think it'll be 25-1. 25-1 for James Harden.
He'll have one off night.
Not when he's at, this is what he's shooting, though.
All it takes is one game.
Right, but this is what he's shooting.
He's
had off nights.
Probably 100-1 at least, Harman,
he was,
right?
He was 1 for 17 the other night, and he got to 30 points.
Game?
For every game, rest of the way. Well, if he gets, that's what I mean, if he gets hurt. That's the only thing that would stop him, really, is if he gets hurt.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
LeBron James is back.
Kind of.
At practice next week for the Lakers. He's been out now making 11 games and counting, and he will come back after missing the next two games and after practice next week with the Lakers. Then likely he will return to their lineup. And so this is going to wind up being anywhere between a 13 to 15 game absence for LeBron James. It's almost a quarter of the season. I mean, it's a lot for him to miss this. When
assuming
a guy
this
that
time
stays is healthy.
Right. Assuming this timetable holds, right? Because it's as we're going to take it at our leisure, right? This is Rich Paul, his agent. We're not on anybody else's timeline. In other words, they don't have the Superman suit and the cape left.
We would like the Lakers to fire Luke Walton before we come back to play. We'd like some changes to be made before we get back and start playing again.
Well, it sets him up to be the hero, right? We talked about this last night. As he was in his suit watching the Lakers give up tacos.
Maybe LeBron coaches the team. Maybe
ooh,
he goes back and he
coach.
Plays any kind. I mean, really?
Kind of does anyway. Well, we already said he's the player GM.
You would just need somebody to call out like defensive rotations and things. You just need somebody on the sideline to
do that. Well, Phil can do that on Skype.
Oh, and someone just holding the iPad out towards the court.
No, I've said it all the time. You got his ceremonial big chair sitting there, and it's got a monitor.
And the big whistle that Phil would give.
Yeah.
You hear him across?
Hello.
Hey!
Flop over on Dinwiddie. Flop over on Dinwiddie. Okay, let me see. Wait, come on. I can't see the left half of the court. Come on. Scroll it back. Come on.
I think we know what we're doing.
Lonzo, hold the iPad straight, all right? I can't see what's happening. Hold the iPad straight.
Is it the playoffs yet?
Phil, you're not really going to do this.
Hello.
Phil, are you really going to do this?
No.
No, right. We're just making a joke. So LeBron will come back, and if he's... You already know when he's coming back to practice. It's not going to be too much longer after. This is not one of those mysterious timelines where it could be this. Now that we know he's going to miss two games, then he's coming back to practice next week, he's nearing his return. But what is he returning to? He is returning to a Lakers team with just as many questions that they had at the beginning of the season. Right? They were rolling. Third place in the Western Conference. We talked about this last night. Last night was a big Luke Walton survives for another day game because they beat the Bulls. The 10-win Bulls, when had they lost the 10-win Bulls, the 9-win Knicks, and the 1-win Cavaliers in the span of the last 2.5 weeks, Luke Walton would have been fired. But the Lakers, it's clear they need changes. They need something because they can't give this season away. This is a wide-open season in the Western Conference. That's what people, you know, fail to see. I know the Warriors have been dominant the last 5 nights. They looked at their getting back and getting reinterested in the NBA season, especially with Boogie Cousins on the way in a few more days. But it's more wide open. Look, the Warriors are getting beat. And this is a year where you can easily, if you are the Lakers, making it to the Western Conference Finals is something that should be done because your team is good enough with LeBron James. Now, you want to get past that? It's clear that through 40 games, you need other things. You brought in the pieces surrounding LeBron coming off the bench. When they're healthy, they'll be fine. Whether it's Rondo coming off the bench, they're fine. Those pieces are good. But you need that middle. Like, you have LeBron and Kyle Kuzma as your 1 and 2, right? Then you have a lot of questions, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then your 8, 9, 10 guys are all pretty good. But that line, right, maybe 3, 4, 5 is where you're really looking. Because once you get 5, 6, you're talking about Hart, who plays really well. You have other guys who are going to play well. Rondo will play well when healthy. So that's really the middle right there. That's what you're looking for. Because what you're getting right now is a Brandon Ingram who's scoring 16 points a game. For all the, as well as he's playing, how he's improved every year, this is where the guy should be taking that next step. He should be the guy going up and down the floor scoring. And instead, it's Kyle Kuzma. And Lonzo Ball is playing okay, but this is really who he is. He can't make a free throw, so you can't trust him on the court late in games. All right, you can only trust him once in a while to hit a three because of the crazy motion he's got. He needs so long to get it off. He's not going to be a 15-point-a-game scorer. He's going to score less than 10 points. That's who he is. He's a facilitator. He is a complementary piece. And you are looking at two guys that you are counting on to be big dogs for this team in Ingram and Lonzo Ball. And they're clearly guys who, if you had to put Ingram and Lonzo and Hart all around the same, that's where they are. That's where the Lakers need to improve. All right, you don't need a big number two to say, okay, we got to go get Kawhi Leonard. We got to go get somebody else who's that big of a star. Kyle Kuzma is pretty good as your number two because he does what LeBron needs. He gets up and down the floor. He's a guy that's going to hit shots. He's going to take pressure off LeBron. But you need more weapons at that 3-4-5 slot when you talk about your next three best players on the team, and you just don't have it right now at the Lakers. It's too much struggle. These should be the games where Lonzo and Brandon Ingram go, okay, LeBron is out. We can show everybody how great we are. We can show everybody this. There's a reason why we were drafted to be the future of this team. But they're not, because they're just okay players. They're complimentary guys. And yes, they're young. And you can only keep telling me they're young for so long, because you know what? LeBron's only going to be 33 for so long, 34 for so long, 35 for so long, 36 for so long. What, Brandon Ingram's 26 years old. Hey, look how good Brandon Ingram is. LeBron's going to be 40, and it's not going to matter anymore.
No, that's the hard part, is you're in the middle of the pack defensively, right? You're giving up about 110 points per game. You've seen some inspired ball. Forget about the tacos for a moment. Lonzo Ball plays some pretty good defense. Problem is, offensively, he'll shrink away if the shot's not falling and the aggressiveness goes. You saw that with the Bulls game last night, right? Hits a couple of three-pointers. All of a sudden, he's feeling it and goes on to be the player of the night off the local broadcast, goes 8 of 17 from the field, hits more three-point shots, and the all-round game is there. But Brandon Ingram, your third leading scorer, is at 16.5 a game, and he doesn't really contribute much else. As we talked about a little bit yesterday while watching the quest for tacos and all the fun that we had in that 7-point victory over the Bulls to stave off elimination. See, we got to use the word stave tonight as you go too for Luke Walton. So doing an okay job, I guess, with the talent that's been given to him, right? And that's the problem, is mm-hmm. that with the talent you have, you're bringing along the young guys, and the question is always the evaluation process versus coaching. Did they pick the right groceries for him to coach, and he's not maximizing their ability?
Yeah.
Or is this just the wrong mix altogether? And I think we've got a little bit of a combination of both, and especially when you don't have playoff Rondo there to punch guys upside the head
and
take control.
You know me. I'm not the biggest fans of Ingram and Lonzo Ball as many other people
sure.
are. But the reality, so that's what they need to do. But what the reality is going to be is that, okay, Luke Walton couldn't get enough out of Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. So when we go to our new coach, which is just going to happen, even though we're on Walton Watch 2019, he's going to get fired at some point, because the Lakers are just keeping around right now until the Lakers start losing enough when they can't do it anymore. So they're just going to replace Luke Walton. And then that's going to be Brandon Ingram and Lonzo's last chance. Okay, we get that Luke Walton didn't get enough out of you. So now here's a new coach. And if it's the second coach that comes in, they can't get enough out of Ingram and Lonzo Ball, that's when they're going to wind up being traded. So I would look more towards even though they should look to improve their team this season because it's wide open for them, that's not going to happen until the offseason. But Luke Walton's going to be the first domino to fall. And then the last half, 30-some-odd games of the season, it will be a new coach with Ingram, with Lonzo, and let's see how we wind up making this happen. But LeBron's going to come back to a team that basically is starting over again. And you didn't think that was good. He's going to come back. They're going to be right around 500. And it's going to be now we got to make a push to get back into the playoff chase in the Western Conference.
Well, and it's going to be crowded, right, all the way through. You got one or two buster teams, and everybody else is going to be competing for that eighth spot. The thing I do like about all this is that the presence of LeBron James has quieted all the let's evaluate Lonzo based on what his idiot dad saying on a given day. It's all about what he's doing on the court.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.